Does God still communicate with humanity today? Maybe by an audible voice, or an internal nudge, or an obvious open or closed door, or through a random email. Yeah, not directly from heaven, but, you know, maybe an answer to prayer. It's a serious question. Does God still talk today? Does he still communicate today? Now, if you're sitting there shaking your head yes, the question then gets asked, are you listening? Like you're ready for him to speak to you today. Now, I'm asking myself that question first. And honestly, I'd probably say it depends on the day as to how I would answer. Does God still talk today? Do you think God is trying to tell us something during this coronavirus thing? I mean, is he trying to communicate with us, his people, his church, the world? Depending on who you talk to, they're going to tell you that God is communicating through punishing us, right? Perhaps for the abuse of the world that he created for us. Maybe that's true. Maybe not. I mean, the world has seen a reduction in air pollution in major metropolitan cities during this time. Perhaps God is saying something else. Maybe God is telling us that he wants to slow down. He wants us to slow down, to push the brakes on the breakneck speed of life that so many of us live in. Maybe stopping the world is a way of him forcing us to take a corporate Sabbath. You know, Sabbath being one of those things that he commanded over and over in Scripture. Maybe, just maybe, God saw that you needed some time with family. So he shut the world down just so you could be at home for a while. Is God trying to communicate something to us during this coronavirus pandemic? Is God talking to us? And if he is, to quote the old Verizon Wireless commercial, is God asking, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? If God is trying to talk to us, to communicate with us, how good are we at listening? Seriously. Maybe the heart of the question that I'm getting at is how good do we listen to God in general, not just during a global crisis? Let's dig another level deeper. Do we even believe that God wants to talk to us today, whether or not we are listening? Does he still talk? Does he still communicate like he did in the pages of Scripture? Does God still speak today? Can we hear him now? Martin Luther, the great German professor of theology, a composer, a priest, a monk, and a key leader in the Protestant Reformation, he once said this: God is a Deus loquens, a speaking God. And I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation of that. But God is a Deus loquens, a speaking God. Is God still a speaking God? Do we really believe this? Could the mess the world is in be his way of talking? Whispering? Screaming? I'm not sure how much of what we're going through right now is directly tied to God wanting to talk to us. But I will say this. I do believe God still speaks. He still communicates. And I think we could all be reminded how to listen. I know I need a few lessons in listening. Do you? Is that a fair question? Do we need to be reminded how to listen? If God is asking, can you hear me now? Don't we want to answer yes? So do our daily lives reflect that desire to answer yes? Some good things to chew on. Let's pray. Father, we want to hear from you. Now, we don't pray that lightly, but we want to hear from you today. Speak in a way that we'll understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, online, we're starting a new sermon series that I'm calling, not very creatively, Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Listen to God. This is not a series on how to pray in the most common ways we think of prayer, on how to formulate words to talk to God. This is a series on how he communicates with us. A series on how we can listen better, which I do realize is a part of praying. So maybe this is a series on how to pray. But the how-to part is the listening part. Listening to a God, we would say, still speaks today. I don't think it comes as a surprise that there are many doubters in our rationalistic, scientific, must be able to absolutely prove everything society that we live in today. There are many doubters who question whether or not there even is a God who communicates. But we believe there is a God. And from the very beginning, God has been speaking. There's very little that we doubt about this, especially if you're reading this book, if you believe this book. When God created in the first pages of Scripture, he did so by, you've got it, speaking. You can read the first couple of chapters in the book of Genesis to see this. Now, when the first humans, when God carried on with them, he carried on a regular conversation. See, conversations that I picture you and I are having, where we can both hear each other. Not like this, where I'm talking to a screen, but a conversation like we will one day again have over a cup of coffee. God had these types of conversations, these types of dialogues with the people in the garden. And when the first humans sinned, God flat out asked them about it. As Genesis 3:9, he talked, literally talked, to the first humans. Now, in my 14 plus years of pastoral ministry, I've said many times that a main theme in the overarching story of Scripture is a sense of return, or a sort of return to what the relationship was like between God and humanity before sin happened. That relationship involved talking. God kept on talking through the pages of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. We see this in the story of Elijah, which we will revisit later in this series, that when God was talking to Elijah on the top of Mount Sinai, God showed up in the sound of a gentle whisper. It's 1 Kings 19:12. Now, listen to what happened after the whisper. 1 Kings 19, verse 13. When Elijah heard it, the gentle whisper, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Friends, do you see it? The conversation is beginning. Talking is taking place. Now, later, God would call, he would tell the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he would say, "Call to me, and I will answer you." God is saying to Jeremiah, "I want to talk to you." I mean, is there any question that God spoke through the pages of the Old Testament? Another time, when Job, the man of sorrows, was having a conversation with a group of his friends after the great tragedy that hit his life, one of his friends wisely said to him, he said, "For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it." So another translation might be a little bit more understandable. Job 33:14. "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." I mean, can you hear me now? Was God asking that? Over and over in the pages of the Hebrew Scriptures, God did all he could to communicate with his people. And they knew it. Not only did they know it, they wanted to hear from him. They even ordered their days around praying that they would hear him speak. Author Cornelius W. May wrote a book titled, "Shh, Listening for God." It's a great title. In this book, he was writing specifically of God speaking to the Israelite people and his chosen people listening to him talking. He writes this: "It is no coincidence that the central prayer of Jewish life is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Out of 5,845 verses they could have chosen to implement into their daily routines, it is the term "hear" which is so fervently esteemed. Now, Cornelius May continues, "This passage, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, is so revered. It is the first section of Scripture that a Jewish child learns. Called the Shema, titled after the first word here in Hebrew, it is recited three times daily, once in the morning to set their minds on God, once at midday to serve as a reminder, and once in the evening to ward off the dangers of the night. Each day is to start and end with hearing." This is the central prayer of the Israelite people. That central prayer was to hear. Now, to me, that shows that they believed God would be speaking. Was that just the Old Testament? Did the Father stop talking in the New Testament when letters started being written and read, when Jesus came along? Absolutely not. I mean, if anything, God's voice became louder through his Son. Jesus declared in John's Gospel, John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I mean, how many times do we see Jesus saying this? "He who has ears to hear, let him listen and understand." Jesus said this numerous times as he taught the masses of people that were crowding around him, not following proper practicing social distancing etiquette. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus proclaimed Matthew 10:27. He said, "What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when day break comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the rooftops for all to hear." In context, this is meant as a public shout of freedom. So from that verse, if Jesus was telling, and if Jesus was whispering, that means he was talking. That means he was trying to communicate a specific message. Now, Jesus was a real human. He walked, he slept, he ate, and yes, he talked. So we could throw our hands up in the air and say that was different than what we're exploring with the idea of God talking. And in a sense, we'd be right. Kind of. The author of Hebrews writes this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Even if people doubt whether the God of the universe spoke to people in the Old Testament, it'd be pretty hard for people to argue about whether or not Jesus spoke when he walked on the earth. So the question begs to be asked, is Jesus still speaking today to us? Later in the same letter, the author of Hebrews says this of Jesus: "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does that mean he's still speaking to us? And since we believe that Jesus was God in human flesh, God incarnate, does that mean God is still speaking to us today? I mean, if yes, the question quickly comes back to, can you hear him now? Can you hear him now? People today, outside the church, and even some inside the church, when they hear someone say, "God told me," or "God spoke to me," a lot of people outside the church think that person is crazy, hearing voices in their head, and they need to be checked into a psychiatric unit. I mean, listen, even some church people may say that, just not out loud. Many will think it. I confess, in the past I've thought it, depending on who was telling me, what God said to them, what message God told them. Now, me just saying that out loud, that's convicting, because it could seem like I'm saying I don't believe God still speaks. Or at least that I'm saying I can determine to who and when God speaks. I don't want to come across like that. I've got to believe, and I'm not the only one who does, that Jesus, that God still wants to and does still speak today. And I've got to believe that in the depth of our beings, the core of who we are, we deeply want to communicate with God. We profoundly want him to talk to us today. In the same way we see him speaking to his people in the pages of Scripture. We want that. How do I know? One of the most popular Christian devotionals of our time is written by Sarah Young. It's titled Jesus Calling. It's written in first person, as if Jesus is calling or talking to you directly, sitting in front of you. My guess is that several of you own a copy of this devotional. I own two. I own one in Kindle version, and I own the fake leather collector's edition. Now, people love the idea of Jesus talking directly to them. I can't tell you how many funerals I've officiated where the request was made by the family, or even the person before they died, to have the hymn "In the Garden" Or we also know it as He Walks With Me. They want that hymn sung during the service. You're grinning right now, aren't you? Because you know the lyrics. It begins, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Now, you can sing it if you really want to. And He walks with me, and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Now, if you know this song, you know how the second verse starts too, don't you? He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. There is something appealing, something magnetic, something drawing, something desirous to hear the voice of God. We want that today, don't we? The psalmist proclaimed in Psalm 29, verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. We want to hear this voice. Maybe as a big booming clap of thunder from the sky, like it sounded to the Israelites looking up at Mount Sinai when they first heard God's voice after being freed from slavery in Egypt. Maybe we want that big booming voice, that powerful and majestic voice. Or maybe we'd be satisfied with a whisper or a nudge or a word from a friend that was exactly what we needed to hear at exactly the right time, and it was evident that God spoke through that friend. Whatever method God uses, we want to hear from Him. So we need to get better at listening. We need to get better at listening. The rest of this sermon series, in the weeks ahead, whether online or in person, we'll explore ways that could help us listen better. Ways that could help us answer a yes when God says, can you hear me now? I want to answer with a resounding, yes, Lord, I hear you now. Now for this week, I want to give us all a little bit of homework for what we're about to embark on together. I don't want you just to watch this video sermon and then go about your week forgetting what we've talked about. So here's the homework. I'd ask you to pray a simple yet deeply profound prayer. This prayer comes from a young boy in Scripture who was learning what it meant to listen for God's voice. He was learning what God's voice sounded like. Listen to the story and to the prayer in the very last sentence. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. Perhaps we could say the same is true today still. Verse 2. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel! Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and he ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Verse 6. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel! And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord God called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. In verse 10, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Speak, your servant is listening. You hear that prayer, don't you? as we embark on this sermon series together, this journey of listening together, I challenge you to pray this simple prayer every day this week. Speak, your servant is listening. But don't just do it once a day. Do it multiple times, many times, countless times. Repeat it as often as you think of it, not as like worthless babble trying to get God to talk to you because you're a nuisance, but pray it out of a genuine heart, desiring to hear from God. When God asks us, "Can you hear me now?" I want us to be able to answer with a resounding yes. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. Next week, if you choose to join us again, we'll begin digging deeper on practical things that may help us listen better. And if you really want to do something crazy this week, go to our church Facebook page, First Free Methodist Church of Spokane, and share a time in your life where you believe God did speak to you. It'd be a great way to engage and interact with each other as we begin this journey together. Let's pray. Father, we began by asking you to speak to us today. And we'll admit that we don't maybe always know what your voice sounds like. Maybe like Samuel, we get confused as to who is calling. But we want to hear from you. And we ask that you would speak to us loudly and clearly in the days ahead. Help us listen well. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.